How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
We've learned already that we're to take care of business, that it's a responsible thing as a Christian to do. Be not slothful in business, the Scripture says. And one of the interesting scriptures, words that Jesus gave us was that the children of this world are often wiser than the children of light when it comes to, you know, financial affairs, and that ought not to be true. And that as stewards to the Lord of our assets, we need to operate in the use of our assets in such a way as is responsible. And I love what John Wesley said when asked about business, this is in finances, this is what he said. He said, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. Save all you can down to a glass of water and a piece of paper. Oh no. Give all you can without hurting body or soul. Save all you can down to a glass of water and a piece of paper, and give all you can so that you don't lay up treasures on earth. That was his point. Earn all you can without hurting body and soul or soul. Save all you can down to a glass of water and a piece of paper, and give all you can so that you don't lay up treasures on earth. And in fact, the first principle that I want to mention to you tonight relates to the second thing that John Wesley said. He said, save all you can down to a glass of water and a piece of paper. Jesus gives us a phenomenal insight here, and actually a direction to the disciples that we ought to take note of. Now, this is immediately following the feeding of the 5,000. You recall one of the greatest miracles. There were 5,000 men, plus women, plus children. So nobody knows the real number, except there were 5,000 men. And they didn't have any food. And all they had in the sack carried by Judas was 200 pennies worth, which couldn't buy food, and there wasn't any stores around to get it. So, but Andrew, aren't you glad for Andrew? One of these days we're going to do a study on the 13 men that changed the world, which is, as you can guess, the disciples plus the replacement of Judas. It included Judas, but who replaced Judas? Anybody know? They elected Matthias, but you never hear about Matthias again. So Paul is referred to as the apostle born in due season. So he's the 13th man. But Andrew was a disciple that knew how to play second fiddle real well. I mean, how would you like to have Peter for a brother? Peter was always the loudest, the most extravagant, the most accomplished. He did everything full tilt. And here's little Andrew in the shadow of his big brother, Peter. So here they are, 5,000 men, plus women, plus children, and no food. And Andrew says to the master, well, we have a young lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, bring them to me. And so they bring the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes to Jesus, and the scriptures say that he broke it and blessed it and gave it to the disciples and said, go hand it out. And they fed 5,000. In other words, as they gave it out, it just kept reproducing itself, I guess. on every plate until 5,000 men plus all the women and all the children had eaten. And then Jesus gives this instruction. When they were filled, isn't that interesting? He said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing be lost. Now, you would think that if you could take five loaves, and does anybody know how much got gathered up? 12. 12 baskets full were left over. Now, you would think that someone who could do this kind of a miracle and turn five loaves and two fishes into an amount that would feed 5,000 men plus their wives and the children would not be concerned about the leftovers. But he was. And he gives us, Jesus gives us a tremendous insight here that the fragments. Now, in America, I mean, we would think nothing of throwing stuff away. But my mother, I don't know where she got it from, but we had a slogan in our house, waste not, want not. I don't know what it, but it was always there. And we had lots of leftovers. In fact, we had leftovers so often, we don't know what the original meal was really like. This is a principle of doing business. Your profit could be lost in the fragments left over. Don't let anything be lost. And that's what Wesley, see, it's a different way of living. This is not the American way. Remember, get all you can without hurting body or soul. Save all you can down to a glass of water and a piece of paper. And give all you can so you don't lay up treasures on earth. But Jesus underscored this principle of using the fragments because you never know how much profit there is. Now, this may surprise you as a business principle, but I want you to see clearly in the scripture that this is a Christian business principle. Now, let me show it to you. This is in James. Most of you know this verse. Go to, now ye that say, now look at this. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and we'll stay there for a year, and set up shop there, and we will buy and sell, and we will get gain. This is a business context. This is a Christian saying, the best way for us to do it, we're going to go into that city for 1 year, and we're going to buy and sell, and we'll make a profit. But the Lord said, you don't know what shall be on the morrow. And then the Lord says, this is what you ought to say. If the Lord will, we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now, this is the difference between Christian business and just business. It is where we allow, and not merely allow, but invoke, if you please, direction from God as to what His will is about the business before we enter into it. Do you follow the context of this passage? Let's go back again, just so you don't miss on it there. People say, today and tomorrow we will go into such a city. And we're gonna stay there for 1 year, buy and sell, and get gain. We're gonna conduct business for 1 year there. And the Lord says, but what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do this or do that. If the Lord will, we will go into that city and continue there a year. Now this has delightful connotations. This has amazing benefits. Because when you're doing a business that the Lord directs, you are no longer merely operating by the bottom line numbers. See, generally in business, it's a matter strictly of numbers. But when the God factor is brought into it, it's not numbers anymore. Because business, in the Christ perspective, is designed with higher goals in mind than merely profits, although profits are a part of it. And I assure you that the Lord has no intention for your business to lose and to bankrupt. He wants your business prospered. But He wants more to happen in the business than for you to profit. He has a will. And we as Christians, if you wanted a good definition for us, we are people who are surrendered to the will of another, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, that His will is the highest and paramount in our lives and not our own. And there, my friends, is where so much folly takes place. Because we have still got our wills, and we only let the will of God factor in certain parts of our lives, when in fact the will of God should be our highest and ultimate pursuit at all times and in every detail. Christian business relies on the will of God as the guiding instruction for the where, the when, and the how long of doing business. And the what of it. And watch this now. But instead of, now this is but, it says, so this is not in play. You're not doing it this way. But now, because you don't do it this way, you rejoice in your boastings. And what is that boasting? Let's go back and see what the boasting is. Well, we're going to go into such and such city, and we're going to stay there a year, and we're going to buy and sell and get gain. That's our boasting. And all such boasting is evil. Why? Because it lacks the will of God factor. And that is, so I'm trying to walk softly with this with you because I'm not here to tell you what the will of God is for your life. That's not my role whatsoever. But what I am here to tell you is that knowing the will of God for your business is very important for your business. And success is not the profit merely, it is being in the will of God. Because an in the will of God business has benefits that money cannot buy. An in the will of God business has peace that business will not give you. An in the will of God business has benefits galore that you will not have in an out of the will of God business. So for us, it is a significant business principle. Not merely to look around and say, hey, where's the fastest profit with the least amount of efforts and go there. But to know in your heart, to hear the voice of God saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. To have the affirmation of God's word about your business. So, there are some months when the bottom line doesn't look so good. And there are other months when it does look good. But it's almost irrelevant Because if you stick to it, remember, talking about the God who in the will of God business that you do intends to give you the power to create prosperity. The power to create wealth. But he maintains involvement in our business. Everybody follow that? Okay. It's a business principle for Christians. Then the particular business policy is an appropriate one from Scripture, is to give service versus self-interest. Kind of a, you know, there are so many paradoxes in Scripture. If you try to save your life, you lose it. We find out in Scripture the way to get up is to get down. To be exalted, you humble yourself. Everything, there's a paradox to things. And the company or the business that dedicates itself to serving the clientele, the customer, the people, will in the long run benefit. But if the business is committed to its own self, first, foremost, and always, then this principle will not work. Give. And right in there, you could stick in what, give service. Give whatever it is you're giving. And it shall be given unto you. And it will come to you good measure. Pressed down, shaken together. And running over shall men give unto your into your bosom. They will beat a door, they will beat a path to your door. Because of the service you give. For with the same measure that you give out, that's what's going to be measured back to you again. Good service, good success. Lousy service, not so good success. And then there's what we call the second mile principle. We learned this a couple months ago in our commands. And Jesus taught, whoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him twain. Of course, you all know what this means. During these days, if a Roman soldier was carrying a package and he had the legal right to ask you to go a mile, carry his pack for him, because you were an Israeli. And so the Roman could ask you, and you had to comply. It was the law. But Jesus taught, well, you don't just give what you have to give. Go with them 2 miles, not just the one. And so the second mile principle has to do with providing more than the minimum necessary so that in business, your construct, your all your numbers and everything else is designed around not merely giving people what you can get away with giving them, but to do more and above. This is a business principle. This is a guaranteed success principle in business. And I'm hearing amens from the front row here, so that's better than warnings. And then in business, relationships are more important than deals. And the most important part that you could write down is the scripture. Relationships are more important than deals. Now, if you sell something to your neighbor, or if you buy something from your neighbor, so in a buying or selling context with someone, the Lord wants you to be careful that you do not oppress one another. Now, just to be clear, on this word oppress. I'm just going to go there. What was it, Leviticus 25? What was it? 14. And let's just pull up the Hebrew word here so that you get it right. Maltreat. Don't be argumentative or maltreat one another. In business, if you're buying or selling, do not oppress one another. Do not maltreat one another. Don't provoke one another. Don't anger one another. Do not suppress one another. Do not enrage one another. When the deal is over, both of the buyer and the seller should be able to walk away happy with the person they did business with, because the relationship is more important than the deal. Within 48 hours, the last 48 hours, I've had people, Christian, tell me how make this. I'm not going to deal with Christians anymore. That's all there is to it. Now, I understand that there's a whole lot of things that go wrong when you, and things can go wrong in a business, Christian business deal, as much as they can go wrong with a secular business deal. And perhaps one of the reasons why is we get unreasonable expectations if the person is a Christian. We think they should give up their profit to us. And that's not true. We should be doing business with a Christian because we want him to have the profit instead of the heathen. So there's a lot that can go wrong with a business deal. But we ought to realize that at a fundamental level, God is more interested in our relationships with the people we do business with than he is with the deal we get or they get. And it's better to have less profit and a good relationship than a whole lot of profit and a bad relationship. Now, you can take the spin off from that a whole lot of directions. A relationship, a successful business relationship, will probably mean repeat business. You might make a killing on the first one and never get a chance to kill again. But the scripture is clear. If you're selling to your neighbor, or if you're buying at his hand, ye shall not oppress one another. Relationship is more important than the deal. Everybody with me here? And then we need to understand that generosity pays dividends. And one should be as generous as possible. And this is, before I get to the scripture there, I don't know if there's any area of dealing that I dislike more than buying and selling cars. And dealing with car sales persons. I'd rather, I understand, I don't know if it's Saturn or who it is that has a price that is the price that is the price, that is always the price. I don't know if that's still true with them or not. But I recently was negotiating on a vehicle, and I wanted to buy close to home for service reasons. And so after talking to the salesman, he went back and talked to his sales manager. He assured me that the price he gave me on the vehicle was within $300 of what I could find anywhere else in any other dealer. And he said that, and I said, well, if that's true, then I will come back here and give you a chance to lower that $300 if I can find the $300 less somewhere else. But you are telling me the truth, aren't you? Yes, sir. We're within $300 of what you could best find this deal to be. Well, he called me 5 days later and wanted to know where I'd gotten to and if I was ready to buy. I said, well, sir, you told me that you were within $300. And I was able to purchase, and it turned out to be the identical vehicle, $2,600 less than your price. Well, I'm going to have to get off after my boss right away. And he went into this pretend charade. It's really rough out there in the negotiating world. I don't believe that God's intention is that Christians should be, and for lack of a better word, suckered, swindled, taken undue advantage of. But nevertheless, there is a proper place where in your heart and mind, you deal with people generously. So here's the scripture. This scripture's got so much. There is that which scattereth, and yet it increases. Isn't that interesting? There is that which gives it to somebody else, but it causes more to come back here. Most CPAs, present company excluded, don't know this. Mark Cook, I am sure, does. But we have sat with accountants before, and the accountant says, you shouldn't do that way because you get more money back if tax advantage if you leverage this against that and da da da. But we don't want to borrow money, sir. It's against the scriptures. Well, it may be against the scriptures, but it's the way to get ahead. It's the way to make more money. And I tell you, it's because accounting, the risk in accounting is to eliminate or forget about or disregard the God factor. You know, you take the God factor out of anything and then everything is different. You put God into any circumstances, the circumstance will change. If you put God in your finances change. You take God out of your finances, guess what? There's devastation. And so here we have the plain statement that because of the God factor, it is possible to scatter and yet increase. Now, it doesn't make sense in an equation unless in the equation where you add, subtract, multiply, divide, do the square root and all that stuff, if you don't include the God factor in the equation. If you just do the math without God, the numbers will come out differently than if you do the numbers with God. Hallelujah. That's really good news, my friends. So you see, you don't always have to squeeze the last ounce of profit out of somebody. Because there's that which scattereth, but causes increase. Now look at the next phrase. And there's that which is withholding more than is necessary, but it tends to poverty. Finding the balance in business between being liberal versus being chintzy is important to business. So God comes along, and after making these two statements, makes it plain. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth will be watered. So, doing business God's way, first of all, remember, with the God factor, is different. And doing business God's way tends towards the second mile principle and the principle of generosity. The problem is that in negotiating, what you may give away does not appear as being generous. So my recommendation is this, that after you've negotiated the deal, that's when the generosity pops in. That's when you give more than the deal that was struck. You follow that? And that is the sign of liberality. And in the long run, it will tend to increase. Let's just take a look at this verse. I stuck it in there. I personally think this has to do with price gouging. There's a famine in the land, and you got corn. You're waiting for the price to go up because it's going to be more because there's a famine. Instead of selling it for your normal profit level, you're going to save it, put it aside, and see what the famine does. And if the famine gets worse, the price is going to go up and you're going to make a whole bunch more. This happened in Katrina, where a bottle of water that normally costs 79 cents in some place was on sale for $8, $9, $10 for a bottle of water. Why? Well, they can call it the law of supply and demand if you want. And I understand that right at the moment now, because there are those whose economic stance, and I understand this, heard it not so long ago being presented that price gouging should be allowed. And the defense for price gouging was that in the long run, both sides will ultimately profit from it. The guy who had to pay $10 for the bottle of water will learn a lesson that's worth $10 for a bottle of water. And the argument actually is based on the free enterprise concept carried to an extreme. But I really think that the scriptures are playing about it here, that if you withhold the bottle of water at the regular selling price, the people will curse the person. But if you have water, and or corn in this case, blessing shall be upon the head of him that sells it at his normal profit. Generosity pays. And then another important business principle is the proper care of employees. Now, in this scripture, I want you to notice what the Lord says about this person's wealth. Your gold and silver is cankered. You got gold and you got silver, but I'm not just sure what that word cankered means. Anybody have any idea? Let's just find that out for a moment here. Whoops. Your gold and silver is cankered, corroded. Rusted. And the rust of them shall be a witness against you. You shall eat your flesh as if it were fire. And you have heaped up a lot of money for your last days, for your retirement. Now watch here. What in this scripture, what we must seek to understand is, how did the gold and silver get in this deteriorated condition? In other words, why is it ultimately going to be devalued? Even though you were saving it up for your retirement. And here's the answer. Here is what can corrupt money. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields. The money that you should have paid the labor, the precise amount you should have paid your laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. That money is crying out And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, if you really want to get to a real short version of this, it basically has to do with earning money off of people at an illegitimate level, keeping back what should have been paid to them by fraud, by some pretentious means. And so the cry of both the money and the cry of those who didn't get what they should have gotten for fair wages has entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath, and he says, your money is going to be corrupt. So it is important from an employer point of view that if you want your profits not to be damaged, cankered, depleted, and your business damaged, then the money that is set in the budget to go to the laborers should go to them and not be kept back by fraud. Follow that? Now that raises some very practical problems in business. What is the right price to pay someone? And that is a really tough position to get into. So, I hope she won't mind me borrowing from her experience, but what my wife did in her business was to bring in a company that specializes in determining fair wages. What do you call it? It's a human resource company, right? And they get paid, they come into the company, and they evaluate everybody's job description, what they do, the hours they work, all that kind of stuff, how well they do it, and they compare it with standards in the industry and come up with a fair market value for wages. That's what it amounts to. And because those are really tough things as a Christian, because if you err on the liberal side and pay somebody too much, you will regret it later because they will go on expecting too much for what they earn. And remember this. This is a very important principle that the Lord taught us. The laborer is worthy of his hire. In other words, the hire refers to the amount of money that they are paid. And whoever the laborer is, doing whatever the job is, should be equated, there should be some legitimate formula for determining the equality of the work being done and the amount being paid for it so that it is legitimate. Otherwise, God says, your money will become cankered because the hire didn't get to them. You kept it back and used it somewhere else. And lastly, I think this also is a very important business principle. Now, before I show it to you in detail, I want to simply show you. We are in James chapter 5 here, verse 3 and 4. This is a business context here. You follow that? And so here we are still in James chapter 5, a few verses later. So, above all things. So even above all the other business principles heretofore mentioned, don't swear by heaven nor by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Because in business, probably the most valuable asset you have as an entrepreneur is to be known as a person who keeps your word. And if you say the job is $7,500, then the job better be $7,500. And you don't get to change the numbers. On budget. In fact, dealing with a company right now who has a very interesting policy. And they said to me on the phone yesterday, if we're not on the budget and we're not on time, you don't pay anything. It's all free. Huh? I probably will find out if they're telling the truth. But isn't that interesting? On budget and on time, or you don't pay at all. So I said, is that in the contract? Is that part of the contract in the bottom of here's the budget, here's the proposal, is that written in there? He says, if you want it to be, it will be. I say, okay, bring it on. But there's something, God makes this important. Look at this, above all things, above everything else, have to keep your word. Now, watch the reason. Let your yea be nay, yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Now, this phrase could have several applications, could have a vertical application with God. Because if your yea is not yea that you give to somebody, you got a problem with God too. And there's condemnation that you will experience in the vertical, because you can't be wrong with people and right with God. Everybody got that's a really important thing. You can't be wrong with people and be right with God. When you lie to somebody, you lie before God. If you exaggerate to someone, other person, God sees it as a lie, a distortion, an exaggeration. So you can't sin against a person without sinning against God at the same time. So if your yea is not yea and your nay is not nay, there's condemnation in this vertical way. But let me just move outside of that for a moment, because you're used to hearing that. And let's simply go to the business application of this principle. If it gets around that your yea is not yea and your nay is not nay, your business will fall into condemnation. People will spread the word, don't do business there. And they'll condemn your word. Keeping your word is a business principle. Well, our time is up. I hope that these additional 8 principles tonight on top of 21 through 22. So stick them appropriately in your notes and file them so you can look them up. And let these things of the Word of God become guidelines for the doing of business. Will somebody say amen? Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.